following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. It's the best time of year, and if you're a National Hockey League fan like I am, even though my Philadelphia Flyers had a chance to make the playoffs, didn't do it, it's a great time to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. A lot of great matchups coming up here in the first round. Everything gets underway on Saturday. The matchups in the first round in the Eastern Conference will be Florida against Tampa Bay. Boston takes on Toronto. The Rangers will face Washington, and Carolina takes on the Islanders. In the West, it's Dallas against the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights. Winnipeg and Colorado. Vancouver against Nashville, and Edmonton against Los Angeles. So a lot of fun series. It really gets underway Saturday with two games. The Islanders take on Carolina at 5 o'clock. That game will be on TBS, True TV, and Max. Boston will be facing Toronto and at 8 o'clock on Saturday. That game also on TBS, True TV, and Max. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you're listening in Canada, it's on CBC and SN Sportsnet, so and TVAS. So we'll help our Canadian friends there as well. I'm going to break down the matchups in that first round. Pierre McGuire, noted hockey analyst and one of my great friends in hockey, will join me to talk about the matchups. We'll break everything down for you coming up here on the Parting Shots Podcast.
Meet Andrew Waite. He's a dedicated journalist with a passion for research and a commitment to getting all sides of the story.
Whether it's a local issue or an upstate trend, I do the stories and interviews that shed light on what's important to you.
Stay informed. Read Andrew Waite in the Daily Gazette.
It's my job to offer commentary about what's happening in our community and what it means to our readers.
The Gazette, reporting based on accuracy and integrity.
It's who we are. It's what we do.
Want to get all the latest news from the Daily Gazette on your phone or tablet? We have an app for that. The Daily Gazette app allows you to read all the newspaper stories and columns from our dedicated team of journalists. The app is free. You can download the app from the Apple or Google App Stores.
Hi, this is Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames general manager, Clarkson hockey legend, and New York State Hockey Hall of Famer. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Welcome back to the podcast, and Pierre McGuire now joins me to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. The best time of the year, Pierre, even though my Flyers aren't in it, I still enjoy this time of year.
They came close, though, didn't they, Ken?
Oh.
I thought John Tortorella did a magnificent job having that team almost get into the playoffs. It was phenomenal, especially after they lost Carter Hart. But it is a tremendous time of the year. Obviously, everything gets going on Saturday at 5 o'clock with the Islanders playing at Carolina, and then Toronto at Boston at 8 o'clock. So it's going to be a great first night in the National Hockey League for the playoffs, for sure.
Yeah. I'm reading Stephen Wino's story on the Associated Press, and Stephen and I both are graduates of the same high school in suburban Philadelphia. And it seems like there's really no clear-cut favorite this year. I mean, past years, there seemed to be a clear-cut favorite. And last year, Boston was a clear-cut favorite. This year, it's anybody's game.
I think there's seven teams that could legitimately win the Cup, and I mean that. I think there's seven teams that could legitimately win. I don't think there's more than that, but I think there's seven. I think one of the things that we've become really aware of is the importance of goaltending in the playoffs, and I know some teams are of the ideology that you don't need an elite goalie to win, and they use Adin Hill as an example out in Vegas. But one of the things that really helped Vegas last year, if you think about it, was the depth of their defense. It's one shot now. You don't get second and third chance opportunities. And not every team has the same defense as Vegas had last year. So I just got off the phone with Scotty Bowman. He was on my podcast, which is called The Eye Test, Ken. And we were talking about the importance of goaltending at this time of the year. And he couldn't have been more emphatic speaking about goaltenders around the National Hockey League and how important they are.
Of course, he had a few good goaltenders in his day coaching Montreal and Detroit and Pittsburgh. And unfortunately, I saw one of his Canadian teams beat my Flyers in 76. But, yeah, Scotty's still sharp. I mean, for his age, he still has it.
He really does. He's 90 years of age. He came on. We cut off after a half an hour. He wanted to stay on for a lot longer. He says, I'm not ready to go yet. He's just an amazing man. He's an awesome friend. And I think we won two Stanley Cups together. So anytime you win with somebody, I think it just creates more of a solid bond. But what I would say is that you talked about his goaltenders. You think about, you know, you had Dominic Hasek, you had Chris Osgood, you had Mike Vernon in Detroit. You had Tommy Barrasso and Kenny Raggett and Frank Pietrangelo in Pittsburgh. And in Montreal, you had Kenny Dryden and Kenny Dryden and more Kenny
yeah.
Dryden. You know, so it was amazing. You talk about the depth of goaltending. You even go back to when he coached St. Louis. You know, at one point, he had Glenn Hall and Jock Plummet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you're right. He's been around a lot of real good goaltenders over the course of his career.
Yeah. Well, let's break down some of these series, starting in the East. Obviously, here in the Capital Region, we have a lot of Rangers fans, Mariners fans, and Bruins fans. Let's look at that Rangers-Washington series. I mean, the Rangers, to me, under Pierre Laviolette, his first year there, I was kind of surprised the job they did. And they really, you know, took control, and they battled Carolina throughout in that Metro Division, and ended up being the President's Trophy champion. And we know what the President's Trophy champion means, and not much in the Cup playoffs. But can they overcome that jinx?
I think they can. I don't know if they can win the Cup, but I think they can. One of the things they're going to be looking for, and they play Washington, and obviously Washington's got some big people, including Tom Wilson. I'm looking to see if the Rangers can stay healthy on the back end. Washington's probably going to be a very physical, aggressive forecheck team early on in the series. And if they can stay healthy on the back end, talking about the Rangers, I think, you know, that series is probably more in their control. But if they can't, if it starts to become a wear and tear series, then I think it becomes hard for the Rangers to win.
Yeah, Washington is a team that not many people expected to make the playoffs. They did. I mean, Alex Ovechkin, I don't think had a, you know, even though he had a 30-goal year, really seemed to show his age a little bit. What do you think?
Well, part of the problem, too, is people forget Nicholas Backstrom really didn't play this season, and Kuznetsov, got traded away to Carolina. So he really didn't have a steady stream of the chemistry that he's used to having down the middle between those two players. And I would say McMichael came in and did a real nice job as a center iceman, especially as a young center iceman. But I don't think he can be confused with Nick Backstrom or Evgeny Kuznetsov. So I think that's part of why Ovechkin kind of had a, I wouldn't call it a mediocre year, but not nearly as good year as what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. The Islanders open up their series against Carolina on Saturday. Islanders obviously made the coaching change midway through the season. Patrick Waugh came in and got things going there. I mean, their penalty kill still is one of the worst in the NHL. What's it going to take for the Islanders to pull off an upset against Carolina?
They're going to have Varlamov play really well in goal. I think he's kind of beating out Sorokin right now. They're going to have to get steady secondary offense, which besides Brock Nelson, they haven't really shown that they have. And they're going to have to make sure that they keep Sebastian Aho and Jake Guentzel in check. If they're not able to do that, I think it becomes a very difficult series for the Islanders.
What about the job Rob Brind'Amour has done at his time in Carolina? I mean, great player, and obviously in his NHL career, and that's translated into his coaching.
Ken, he's been phenomenal. I mean, I remember doing the 06 Stanley Cup final with Doc Emmerich and John Davidson, and I'll never forget Carolina winning game 7 against Edmonton in Carolina, and Rod going up and getting the cup as a captain of the Hurricanes. And, you know, it wasn't long after that he decided to retire, and he got into coaching, and he was an assistant coach, and then eventually made his way into being a head coach. And he's done a magnificent job with the Carolina Hurricanes. Those players get better during the course of a season, which is hard to do in the NHL. Their face-off play is exemplary. Their special teams are outstanding. And I just can't say enough good things about him. And even, you know, you look at his staff, Tim Gleason and Jeff Daniels, those guys have done outstanding work as well.
Yeah. Let's go to the Boston-Toronto series. We mentioned at the top of this, the Bruins were the prohibitive favorite last year, and, of course, they stumbled against Florida. Boston had a good year, ended up winning the division again, or finishing second this year, I should say. is this a redemption tour for the Bruins this year?
Well, they better not lose in the first round this year. If they do, that's going to be a problem for somebody. I think there'll be collateral damage if they lose in the first round this year. The biggest thing I think with Boston is they got to have a plan to shut down, you know, obviously Austin Matthews. And if they don't have a plan to shut him down, they're going to have a problem in the series. You know, he's a stalwart player for them offensively in Toronto. And, you know, without Bergeron and David Krejci, things change a little bit down the middle for Boston. So it's going to be more than just man-to-man coverage. You're going to have a plan, a real 200-foot plan to shut down Austin Matthews. And I don't think Boston can take penalties. So if they decide to make it into more of a street fight kind of a game, they better be careful that they don't take penalties, because that Toronto power play could eat you alive. So, like, for Boston, it's pretty simple. Have a plan for Austin Matthews. Play with energy. Don't take penalties. And capitalize on your opportunities. And I do think Boston wins the goaltending matchup there. So they should have some success in this series if they can do those things. If they can't, then it becomes a long series and very difficult for them to win.
Of course, the storyline in this series, once again, the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a cup since 1967. That's the pre-expansion era. How much pressure is on the Maple Leafs to, you know, just win this series and, you know, get to a cup final? They haven't, you know, obviously haven't been there since 67.
There's a lot of pressure, and there should be. It's a hockey-mad city. It's an amazing franchise. It's a cash machine for the ownership group. They've had so many hopeful seasons, and they haven't obviously been able to capitalize on all those hopes. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of pressure to win for sure. I don't know if they're good enough on defense to win. That's going to be the biggest thing for me watching them. If they're able to beat Boston, I don't know if they'll be good enough on defense to go deeper than that.
And is this a series where the losing team, the coach, maybe not have a job after the series?
That's what I'm talking about. I hate to speculate on that, but I do think one of the coaching staffs could be in trouble. There could be collateral damage if you're on the losing end of the series.
Yeah, I would feel bad for Jimmy Montgomery. I first met Jim when he was assistant coach at RPI under Seth Appert. Good guy. And obviously he had some personal issues. He got straightened out, and he did a great job last year, and just, you know, unfortunately fell short. And it seems like the players do respect him.
I've known Jimmy since he was a player for the Pembroke Lumber Kings in the old Central Hockey League in Ontario. Tried to recruit him to play for us at St. Lawrence when I was working for Joe Marsh. So I've known Jimmy a long time. Yeah, no, he's done a magnificent job as a coach, whether it was at the University of Denver, whether it was as a head coach in Dallas. You talked about the problems. He's faced those down, and I think he's done a fantastic job with his life. And then obviously he goes to St. Louis as an assistant, and eventually finds his way as a head coach of the Boston Bruins. I think Jimmy's done a tremendous job. But, you know, nothing's fair in the NHL. It's all about winning. And if you're not winning, things become nasty in a hurry.
Yeah. And then the other Eastern Conference series, the Battle of Florida, the Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Honestly, Pierre, I thought the Florida Panthers would take a step back this year because they were beat up in that Stanley Cup final. And they had some key players out, and it seemed like I thought they would – you know, take a while before they got going. And surprise, surprise, you know, Paul Maurice got them going early, and they battled Boston and ended up winning the Atlantic. And now they get to face their rival in Florida. I mean, what about the job Paul Maurice has done down in Florida?
Yeah, both he and Billy Zito, the general manager, have done an outstanding job there. I mean, you look at some of the additions when you bring in a Sammy Reinhart, when you bring in a Sam Bennett. You know, you look at what they've done on their defense in terms of making it better. Brandon Montour, it's not drafted by the Florida Panthers. He was an acquisition. So you start looking at all the players that Billy Zito and his staff have brought in. It's tremendous. And Paul's taken advantage of some really good players. The other thing, too, is Bobrovsky has really, I think, stood the test of time. He had a tough start when he was in Florida, but man, oh, man, has he gotten better in goal for them. They play rugged. They play with four lines. They beat you up on the boards. They create a lot of scrums after whistles that can really wear guys out on the opposition. So I think Florida's tough. Now, here's my one caveat to anything Florida does. If the Florida Panthers take more than three penalties in any game against Tampa, I think they do not win the series because Tampa's power play is just so darn good.
Yeah.
They've got to take three or less penalties. If they have three or more penalties, they're going to be in trouble. It's got to be three or less penalties per game.
Yeah. I mean, Tampa Bay, to me, I think if down the road, how they won their Stanley Cups in a COVID year and a shortened year and again getting the finals after that, I think down the road they're going to be recognized as one of the great organizations in hockey. And I mean, they're still getting the job done. I mean, can they pull off the upset?
They can. Like I said, yeah. The biggest thing for Tampa is they've got to take advantage of their power play, which is obviously lethal. They're going to have to stay healthy on defense. They're not nearly as deep as they used to be on defense. And there are a lot of unproven guys in their defense, which will be interesting to see how they hold up under the scrutiny of playoff hockey. But, you know, again, you talk about goaltending being important. Ken Varlamov, Vasilevsky is, you know, outstanding. And he's back on his game now. So can they do it? Sure, they could do it. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not going
to
be easy.
Yeah. Let's look over to the Western Conference, and the Dallas Stars will start Monday against the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas, but it's a bit of an off year. I mean, I don't know if, you know, Stanley Cup related or just a lot of injuries, but, I mean, Vegas seen as the second wild card. I mean, they're going to face a tough team in Dallas.
Well, I don't think this is the matchup they wanted, you know, but it nothing was easy for them just because they couldn't get any traction in the standings because of injuries in goal, on defense, and up front. I mean, they had a boatload of injuries this year. You have to remember, though, last year they were able to beat Dallas on their way to winning the Stanley Cup. I think they're probably more comfortable playing Dallas just because of the tempo of the game wouldn't be as great as if they played Edmonton in the first round. So we'll see how that plays out long term. What I would say, the Vegas defense is obviously huge, and the addition of Noah Hanifin doesn't hurt them. It helps them. It'll be, like I said, I think it'll be really interesting to see how the pace helps Vegas or hurts them. Mm-hmm. And that, if Dallas pushes the pace a little bit more than what they're capable of defending, I'm talking about Vegas now, then I think it becomes a hard series for Vegas to play if Dallas can up the ante pace-wise. Yeah.
To me, an interesting series is Winnipeg and Colorado, both Central Division rivals. Winnipeg gets the home ice in this one, looking to try to advance out of this first round. And this seems to me could be the toughest matchup, maybe not just only in the West, but overall in that first round.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I couldn't agree more. The biggest thing I think in that series is going to come down to, is Connor Hellebuck way better than Gorgiev, the goalie in Colorado, or just a little bit better? If he's way better, I think Colorado has a tough time in this series. If he's just a little bit better, then I think Colorado's got a fighting chance to win the series.
Of course, Nathan MacKinnon doesn't hurt either for Colorado.
No, well, Nathan's obviously really important. He's had an MVP-type season. Will Gabriel Landeskog be back for Colorado? I don't know if that'll happen or not. I know that they try to beef up their lineup by going out at the trade deadline and bringing Yakov Trenin in from Nashville and bringing Brandon Duhaime in from Minnesota. So they got bigger guys. They also have Miles Wood there from New Jersey, Ross Colton from Tampa. They brought some bigger guys in that try to lean on playoff-style hockey. But to me, the biggest thing for Colorado is if they don't get goaltending, it's going to be, I don't care how much they score, it's going to be really tough for them to win.
Yeah. The Vancouver Canucks won the Pacific Division under head coach Rick Tocchet. They'll take on Nashville in that first round. I want to talk about the job Rick has done. I mean, I know he's been head coach at several other places, but this seemed to be the right fit for him in Vancouver.
Rick's an outstanding coach. I had the privilege of coaching Rick, winning a Stanley Cup with Rick in Pittsburgh. Can't say enough good things about him. We've been friends for a long time. He's a tremendous hockey coach. His knowledge of the league and tactics is phenomenal. He's not afraid to surround himself with high-quality coaches. He brings in Adam Foote, who's a great coach. He brings in Sergei Gonchar. He inherited Mike Yeo and kept Mike Yeo on. They were familiar with one another from the Pittsburgh days. So, you know, Rick's done a lot of good things there. The biggest thing is he's made his team hard to play against physically. And that doesn't surprise me at all. If you know Rick at all, he's a really tough guy. And he likes tough hockey, and he makes his players play that way.
Yeah, Nashville, you know, the new general manager, Barry Trotz. I mean, what about the job he's done in assembling this team?
Barry's done a fantastic job. He and Andrew Burnett have been really singing from the same songbook, and right from the day that Barry hired Andrew to come in and be the head coach. Can't say enough good things about the job. Everybody in management's done there. Everybody on the coaching staff is done there. The players have clearly bought in. They've got one line, obviously, with Gustav Nyquist, Ryan O'Reilly, and Philip Forsberg. That's critically important for them. If that line's not producing, they can't score enough to win. But that line has produced a ton, and I think that's a big part of their attack. I also think Roman Josi's probably the most overlooked star defenseman in the league. And Ryan McDonough's been just such a great stabilizing player for them on the back end. And he brings Stanley Cup winning experience, a lot like Ryan O'Reilly. So I think Nashville is going to be a tough out. I don't think they're going to be deep enough to play against Vancouver, though.
Yeah. And then the other series is Edmonton and Los Angeles. Edmonton got off to a slow start. They had a coaching change there and really then got going. But how much pressure is on the Oilers and Connor McDavid to, you know, make a deep run?
A lot of pressure. It's a lot like Toronto in the East. There's a lot of pressure on Edmonton. And Chris Knobloch, the coach you're alluding to, has done a tremendous job. I think one of the reasons why he's thrived so much is because he coached Connor McDavid and Connor Brown with the Erie Otters in the Ontario Hockey League. So there was a sense of familiarity. Another thing that they did is they brought Paul Coffey in to work with their defense. And if you look at it, Paul's really helped all their defensemen, but in particular, Evan Bouchard. Go look at his numbers, Ken. They're unbelievable. And he just started to surge when Paul Coffey took over coaching the defense in Edmonton. So can't say enough about the coaching staff in Edmonton and the job they've done making players better. But there is significant pressure. They should win the series against L.A. But if L.A. gets them in the trolley tracks and beats them up physically because they're a big team, that could be some problems for Edmonton. So Edmonton's got to establish their speed game and their depth game, and LA's going to have to really develop their physical game and their grinding game and their puck management game. So it'll be interesting to see which team can establish, you know, three things first, and whomever does, I think, wins the series.
Okay, who are your picks in these eight series?
I don't pick, and I'll tell you why. I'm not trying to hide. It's a good story for you, Ken. A few years ago, I picked the team to win, and I was working on national TV, and the coach of the team I did not pick called me in his office, and he said, "Hey, got to ask you a question. I thought we were friends." I said, "We are friends. What's the deal?" He said, "You didn't pick my team to win. I don't appreciate that." So I will break down series, and I'll tell people, here's the strengths, here's the weaknesses. But I don't pick winners and losers ever since that happened.
Fair enough. Well, one playoff question I do want to ask. From 1994 to about mid-2000s, the NHL had the best playoff format. The top eight teams, they reseed after each round. Fans, I don't think they like this format. Is the NHL ever going to change?
I sure hope so.
I mean, there's a...
I don't think coaches like it. I don't think players like it. I know the fans don't like it, especially if you're in a city that's had an amazing regular season, and all of a sudden you got to play against, you know, a top team and you lose. I'd prefer to see 1-8. I'd prefer to see 2-7. I'd prefer to say 3-6 and 4-5. I think that's the most equitable way to do it.
I mean, the NHL over the years, I go back to my youth when I first followed the Flyers. And like they had the first place team played the third place team and the second played the fourth. That never made any sense.
No, I think they'll do a long, hard look at the playoff format going forward. But I don't think there'll ever be a play-in game, not as long as Commissioner Bettman's in charge. And I don't think you'll see much of a change, but I do think the potential is there for them to do it the way I just described. One would play eight, two would play seven, three would play six, yeah. And four would play five.
I like that format. Then reseed after each round. That's the way it should be. Yeah. The Coyotes are no more in Arizona. They're heading to Salt Lake. Your thoughts about that?
I feel, and I apologize for the background noise. I just got to move around here.
But, it's okay.
You know, the biggest thing is that it wasn't working in Arizona dollar wise. It wasn't working attendance wise, and they had to move along. It's not easy. I wish there had been a building in Scottsdale. There isn't a building in Scottsdale, and because of that, the team's got to move to Utah. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, Pierre, appreciate a few minutes. I know you have a busy schedule here, but I appreciate you squeezing me in, and we'll talk before the second round.
Anytime for you, Ken. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. For all your great fans in the Capital District area, I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Pierre. Thanks a lot.
You got it, man.
All right. That's Pierre McGuire. We'll be back with I'll have my picks of the Stanley Cup playoffs in just a moment. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in New York.
This message presented by the New York State Public High School Athletic Association and the New York State Athletic Administrators Association.
This is Colgate men's hockey coach, Mike Harder. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Back to wrap up the podcast and offer my picks for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I remember I used to do this on my Parting Shots blog back in the day. I didn't do the picks last year online, but I figured let's do it on the podcast. So we'll have a lot of fun with this. Starting with Florida and Tampa Bay. The Florida Panthers got to the Stanley Cup final last year, and it's going to be a battle of Florida against Tampa Bay. I think Florida ends up winning this series in six games. Boston-Toronto, I think Boston will win that in six, and we're going to see an explosion and implosion, every kind of explosion and implosion in Toronto if Maple Leafs lose this series. And like I said with Pierre, 1967, that's a long, long time. Of course, my Flyers 1975 is a long time too, but not as long as the Maple Leafs. The Rangers in Washington, I don't see Rangers having too much problem with the Capitals. Rangers win this in five, and then Carolina should take care of the Islanders also in five. Over in the West, I think that Dallas-Vegas series is going to be a battle, and I think Dallas ends up winning that in seven. I'm going to pick Colorado. I mean, I know Winnipeg has home ice in this matchup against the Avalanche, but I just like Colorado in six. Vancouver should take care of Nashville in five, and Edmonton in five over the Kings. So those are my picks for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And of course, when the second round comes up, we'll have my picks as well. So I appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll do another podcast next week. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. I'd like to thank Pierre McGuire for coming on to the show to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey, and we remember Dickie Betts, a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band who passed away this week at the age of 80. Of course, Dickie's most famous song with the Allman Brothers is Ramblin' Man, I Can Talk. So let's hear that from Dickie Betts, and rest in peace, Dickie Betts.